Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And we are back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here along with Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City, Kansas. And joining us right now is Steve Jordahl, part of the news coup.
The news coup. I just wanted everybody to know, once again, I am sitting in the boss's chair. I'm feeling very authoritative right now.
Well, that's what happens during a coup, you know.
That's right. Yeah. I will not be giving you any false information, at least not on purpose.
Ray, are you traveling this this summer?
I'm going to be gone, Fred. As a matter of fact, next 3 weeks, biggest trip of the year.
Okay.
Leaving Saturday for North Carolina, speaking Sunday morning at the Shepherd's Church in Cary, North Carolina, and then zooming from the church to the airport and up to Albany, New York for a week at Word of Life, up in the Adirondack Mountains, and then from there, taking three flights, my wife and I are, out to Missoula, Montana, to spend a few days with our Montana crew, and then flying from Missoula to Dallas to Philadelphia to spend a week speaking at America's Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey. So it's a
wow,
3 weeks. Yeah,
man, oh man, you've got a schedule.
Well, and you know, when I was younger, this kind of thing didn't bother me too much. It takes longer, Fred, to get yourself ready.
Yeah,
to make sure you haven't forgotten anything. So we're going North Carolina, New York, Montana, and then back to New Jersey by way of Dallas, Texas.
All right. So what are you going to be teaching on? Are these different venues, different topics, or is it young people or a mix of crowd?
Well, I'll be speaking at the church in Cary on the lawyer who wanted a loophole from the story of the Good Samaritan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The lawyer who wanted, he came with a question, but he was not sincere, and he was surprised by the answer Jesus gave. So that's this coming Sunday morning. And then on next week at Word of Life, I'll be speaking on the love revolution from 1 Corinthians 13.
Okay.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
I think there's a song.
There is a song. That kind of dates us, Fred. We know that song. The young ones go, I never heard that song. And then in, do you know the song, Steve?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. And then in, I'll be doing that same
Dionne
series.
Warwick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Dionne Warwick is the one who really made it famous. I'm doing that same series twice, once in New York and then again in New Jersey.
Well, we'll be praying for you, brother. That's exciting.
And are you heading to South Korea anytime soon?
In the break between the last segment and this one, I rushed upstairs, said hi to my wife, and I told her we've been invited to come back to South Korea. We got to set a date. So probably after this program is over, we're going to probably next March heading back to South Korea.
Well, there you go.
You are a busy guy.
I know.
Yeah.
Fred, I think someone needs to cover Ray's
international
stuff. I'll be talking to you about maybe getting the credit card out again.
Come on. Come on. You know.
Right.
Well, you know what they say. It's harder to hit a moving target. Always keep your feet moving. Don't stay in one place too long.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, Ray is not in the witness protection program, folks. That's
true.
Not why he's moving around.
So far, I'm not. That's right.
All right, Mr. Steve, what you got for us?
All right. AFA action is in the news.
Oh.
This is quite the coup, I think. So the New York Times, or actually a guy named Jay Willis, published an op-ed in the New York Times, and he's the editor-in-chief of a little outfit called Balls and Strikes, designed for progressive commentary on the legal system.
Progressive, read leftist.
Leftist, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's writing, the New York Times published it, that Donald Trump has fallen out of favor with the Federalist Society, or at least the Federalist Society has fallen out of favor with Donald Trump.
Okay. Now, the Federalist Society has been used as a advisory board for a possible picks for federal court nominees, judges. But,
and that's the point. And it's true because they not only... They were used. They were the ones that recommended the three picks that Donald Trump made in his first term.
Mm-hmm. For the Supreme Court.
Yes. Yeah. According to this New York Times article, this is what they're saying, that Donald Trump's nominees in the second term, if he has one, are quite likely to be different than they were during the first term. He will take his judicial cues not from the conservative legal establishment as he previously did, but instead from the conservative legal movement's extreme fringes.
And guess who?
Well, guess who? It seems to be that one proposal comes from AFA Action, an organization whose mission is to align policy and biblical and constitutional principles.
How dare they?
I know, right?
Really? Really?
So I happened to talk with Philip Jaregi, who is part of AFA Action, uh-huh. and he has been, and they have indeed been vetting candidates. They have five candidates that they think might make good Supreme Court justices. And I talked to Philip yesterday, I talked to him this morning, a story that's going to be running tomorrow, uh-huh. About the president leaning on AFA Action to see if to for some recommendations. And this is what he had to say, Cut 12.
You know, why we've come on the radar, I don't know. I suppose the New York Times recognizes that we're doing serious work and they want to try to separate us from having any influence in this process. But whether the president or whether President Trump is reelected and wants to talk with us or not is really not the point. The point is, who are the justices that need to be on the court, and does their philosophy match with the Constitution? So we've identified ones that we think would do that. And the common characteristic is these are justices who respect what the Constitution says, but also who have a faithful worldview that comports with the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, there you have it. And Ray, we know how important judicial nominees are because we saw the impact of President Trump in his first term in able to get those justices on the Supreme Court, and they had a lot to do with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So the courts are important, and congratulations to AFA Action for putting some pretty substantially very conservative Christian voices out there.
Hey, I think this is tremendous. Look, the Federal Society, they're good people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the names that they gave to President Trump in his first term turned out to be excellent judges. So I don't think that's really the question here. I think, how can we find exactly what he said? How can we find judges who are committed to the Constitution and to the principles of the Declaration of Independence, who actually want to do what the documents say America was set up to do, and with a truly faithful worldview? That's going to cut down your field somewhat, but you're going to end up with some very good choices. So I don't know how all this happened, but hey, congrats to AFA Action. Well done, guys.
One of the things I asked Philip Jaregi, because we tend to see sometimes some of the justices that are appointed by conservative presidents, Republicans, tend to drift a little bit left. We've seen that in the past, and right now there's some questions about Amy Coney Barrett, whether or not she's been on some interesting decisions. So I said, well, how do you know that these people, these five judges that you're recommending, aren't going to follow the same trait? And he says, well, not only do they have the right bona fides, in other words, they've written correctly and everything, but they have years, decades of putting these constitutional principles into practice. The names are Stuart Kyle Duncan, Lawrence Van Dyke, Christian Wagoner, Morris Tan, and Mark Martin. I'm assuming Mark Martin is not the former NASCAR driver, but I could be wrong. Christian Wagoner is the president of Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yes.
And she came to the fore. She argued the Jack Phillips case in front of the Supreme Court. So I think that's what brought her name to the front. But they're all good men and women.
And for that matter, isn't it possible that there could be some overlap between the judges that AFA Action recommends and those that the Federalist Society should recommend? It's not, sure, as, not as if we're talking about two completely different groups, because both are generally conservative. AFA Action stronger on certain principles. This is one of the areas that I was thinking about what Jenna said in the last, and toward the end of that last segment about Trump's, maybe it's his handlers, I don't know, changing things inside the Republican the platform and so on, which is troubling to all of us. Mm-hmm. Yet we look back at Mr. Trump personally. I was skeptical in 2016 about his promises about the judges, and yet he really delivered.
Yes.
Not just the Supreme Court, but the appeals court and federal courts all the way. He really did a good job. So I think it's very possible that if Mr. Trump wins his second term, he'll continue to give us more and more conservative justices. And I'll be glad if there's a hotline between the White House and AFA Action so he can pick up the phone and get our recommendations anytime he wants.
Amen. Yep. Amen. All right, Steve.
So who's running the country? We always wonder that because there's a lot of speculation that Joe Biden isn't up to the task, we've heard. And so we keep thinking, is it Ron Klain? Who's his chief of staff? Who is it? I think, and I might have some evidence to back this up, that it is one Dr. Jill Biden.
Huh.
And this is the evidence that I'm putting forward. If you are the president, if you're running the country, you get the pomp and circumstance that comes with the office, right?
Uh-huh.
So hail to the chief every time Joe Biden walks out. It's been the anthem for presidents for since I don't know when. Well, it turns out, according to the Washington Examiner, Dr. Jill has commissioned the Marine Corps Band to do a fanfare for her.
Are you serious?
That's what it's called. It's called the first fanfare for the First Lady. Now, her office, I will say right up front, her office is dismissing the fact that the notion that she asked for this. The Examiner thinks she did, or at least its sources say that she did. But the number was played twice and then retired. I have a feeling it was retired for two reasons. One, because the bad press that Jill Biden actually asking for her own anthem created. And two, because it's just not a very good piece of music. Listen to this, cut 14. So, I don't know, Ray, do you think we should have to play that every time we bring you on the air?
Oh, you know, if that was the winner, what came in second? What came in third?
I don't know that it was a contest. I think someone just decided to put pen and paper to staff. And
oh, man.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
No.
That one's not going to fly. But to the more who's running the country, I think Jill Biden right now is, and this has been said before, Jill Biden is pushing her husband to stay in the office.
Yeah.
I think she enjoys being first lady. And it's not only just, you know, pomp and circumstance. It is the power that comes with that office. She has a lot of influence. She has been out on the campaign trail. And I think if Joe Biden stays at the top of the ticket, you're going to see a lot more of Jill Biden rallies out there. Because she wants that position, and that is why, and she's been criticized. Why aren't you encouraging your husband, given his mental state, to step away from this, enjoy retirement, enjoy the time that you can with your husband? But it appears that Jill Biden, I remember how she responded the night of the debate, right afterwards. Joe, you did a wonderful job. Well, I'm trying to be kind here. I think she has integrity problems.
Well, she's a supportive wife, Fred.
I mean, what was she going to say? Honey, you stunk
Boy,
up the
did
joint.
You really?
Well, I think I would have taken him aside and said, honey, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe
no,
it's
she time. Has obviously been a cheerleader for him. And it's said that she likes the trappings of the office just as much as he does, so
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Interesting things going on yesterday in the Congress. They had a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday. House Judiciary Committee on collusion in the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. Basically, it was talking about organizations that take ad money and shut ad money out of conservative groups. Ben Shapiro there because he's the principal owner of Daily Wire.
All right.
But he had a really interesting interchange with California Democrat Eric Swalwell. Remember Eric Swalwell? He's the one that had an affair with the Chinese spy and everything. Somehow, yes. Still in Congress.
Yeah.
But Eric Swalwell thought he had.
Now, was this during a congressional hearing?
It was a congressional hearing. He was Ben Shapiro sitting at the table, and behind a mic, and on the dais was Eric Swalwell, and Swalwell thought he had Ben Shapiro in a little bit of a pickle. And it did not go well for him. First of all, he wants to talk about Project 2015, which the president has...
2025.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. Where am I? Project 2025, which the president, former president, has said he doesn't know a whole lot about. But listen to this exchange between these two. Cut 13.
You support Project 2025?
I think, like President Trump, I haven't looked all that deeply at Project 2025, but... It seems that Democrats on this committee, sort of like Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, if they say Project 2025 enough, their presidential candidate becomes alive again.
And so, well, let's just talk about pieces of it, and I guess you can tell me if you support it. You probably want less bureaucracy, right?
I do.
I want less bureaucracy. You want more efficiency?
I do.
I want more efficiency. You want taxpayer money spent wisely?
I do. Congrats on becoming a Republican.
Yeah. My parents would be proud. Because we found some receipts. You did say, I think homosexual activity is a sin.
Yes, I'm a religious Jew.
Sure,
that's true.
Sure, there's a genetic component.
You found me out.
Orientation. But the view of all religious people I know has always been that sexual behavior is something that is up to you. And you said, I may have a desire to sleep with many women, but I do not.
I agree with me. Yes, that's true.
Ben Shapiro is not one to fade away from being challenged like that.
He loves the debate. I wish that he was on some ticket we could see him debating against the Democrats, because, oh my goodness, he's good at it.
Hey, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yes.
And Ben Shapiro. How about that ticket, Ray?
Oh, I like it. I like it.
That would be a lively one.
That would be. Look, put either one of those people up against, Kamala. Okay.
Oh,
there would be nothing left when they finish.
I'd pay money to see it. Yes. To get in to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Hollywood has a way of combining names, you know, like Ben Affleck and what, you know, the celebrity couples, they give them one name. So what would Ramaswamy and Shapiro be? Shapiro Swami?
Well, I like it.
Shira Swami?
Shira Swami, yeah. Yes.
So, all right. So Florida has put a new law. You know, Florida is kind of leading the way in what they call themselves the free state of Florida. And they put a new law up on there, which says that that schools can have chaplains, in-school chaplains, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there's maybe a rabbi, some pastor or something that can be there to help counsel children if they need that kind of a counsel. Well, guess who's stepping up to the plate and saying they want to be part of this? Lucian Greaves is the founder of the Satanic Temple. And the Satanic Temple says, you can't do this without us. So they are putting their hat in the ring saying, if you're going to have any pastors or religious chaplains, you got to bring in a Church of Satan pastor or priest or whatever they call themselves to counsel these kids. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Ray, that's a well-practiced tactic of atheist groups. When a state moves in this direction to allow chaplains, to allow pastors in the community to come in and act as counselors, that's one of the first things the satanic group, the atheist groups do. They're there to challenge.
Well, what's going to happen here is, one hopes anyway, what will happen is the school board will get a little spine, that they'll be willing to say, look, we're going to have recognized leaders from recognized religious groups, and they are here not so much to proselytize, but they are here to help, to encourage, to listen, and if necessary, to pray with. Kids today are under a whole lot of pressure. I don't believe that the what do they have in the Satanic Temple anyway? Have pastors, ministers?
I think they're priests. But this was my question for you, Ray, because they say that they're not worshiping an actual devil. It's humanist. It's more atheist, free choice that we celebrate the human ability to be their own God, I guess. So are you buying that? Has the Church of Satan become a little less dangerous than it was before?
The God of this world has come out and has disguised himself as an angel of light. No, who is behind the Church of Satan? Well, whose name is a part? Whose name is on the door, right? Whose name is on the sign? No, Satan is behind this, whether they admit it. In fact, Steve, Satan is behind this, whether the local priests of their church understand this right or not.
Keith Green had a song called "Since No One Believes in Me Anymore." Do you remember that song? I'm doing so well convincing the world to not follow God since nobody believes in me anymore. You know, so.
Well, I tell you what, Satan is already in our schools.
Yeah.
You know, and that battle goes on and on. And we've talked about this so many times, done so many stories over the years about what's being taught in our schools. And it certainly, Ray, is rebellion against godly standards. But so glad to see what's happening in states like Louisiana, where they're going to post the Ten Commandments. Glad to see that in other states, they're looking at a biblical curriculum that can be taught. And I believe, Ray, there is a movement going on in this country right now responding as the left's agenda has become more evident in recent years. I'm talking about the transgender agenda, basically the rebellion against family, Christian, biblical values, that there is now a fighting back. And I want to congratulate lawmakers in states like Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, and other places like that, that are saying, no, we're not going to turn our kids over to the secular humanists. We're going to fight back.
Look, you can always guarantee the devil's going to overplay his hand. And I mean that literally,
yeah,
spiritually. He's going to overplay his hand. He's going to win a victory or two, then he's going to go too far. And that's what's happened, I think, with the transgendered movement. It has gone too far. We've said, as a society, look what you do as a 35-year-old person, you know, that's one thing. But keep your hands off our kids.
Yeah.
Don't mutilate our kids in the name of some perverse, evil ideology. And you know what? There was a time when it was just evangelicals saying that. Now, just generally across the country, there's a building coalition that is saying enough is enough is enough.
Yeah. Homeschool movement is moving forward across the country.
It is.
We've seen a big increase in Christian schools.
School choice.
And really, you know, taxpayers, folks, they have a right to fight back and say, wait a minute, my tax dollars are going into this public school system. I have a say in what's going to be taught to my kids. And glad to see that this is from groups like Moms for Liberty and others that we talk about are out there fighting, and we need to be supporting them. All right, folks, out of time again. And
out of week.
Out of week, yeah. Tim and Ed will be back tomorrow for Trivia Friday. My thanks to Steve and to Ray. Ray, you're taking off, when is it, for First North Carolina?
For Cary, North Carolina. Be there Sunday morning.
All right.
Shepherd's Church.
Be praying for Ray and the mission work that he's going to be doing over the next month or so. Our thanks to Chris Woodward and to our producer, Brent Creeley. And stay tuned, folks.
Jenna Ellis.
And Jenna Ellis, yes. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned to American Family Radio. Much more great programming ahead. We'll see you again soon. Bye for now.